This is the homily studio for the solemnity of the most holy body and blood of Christ. We're recording today without Father John O'Connor, who is on his way back from the Philippines, having been giving retreat there. But I welcome all of you who are listening, either in New Zealand or overseas. My name is Kathleen Petrie. I'm a former teacher from Auckland, and I've agreed to coordinate the session today. I'm just going to ask the others to introduce themselves. There are four of us here all together.
So my name is Rocio Figueroa, and I am a theologian, and I live in Auckland.
Kia ora, I am Alex Chia. I work at the Bishop Partial Office here in Christchurch.
And I'm Lucien, and I'm in the pastoral office of the Archdiocese of Wellington.
So we're spread around Aotearoa this afternoon, and we begin, as always, with prayer using the collect for this feast day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ, our Redeemer, who in the wonderful sacrament of the Eucharist left us a memorial of your passion, grant us, we pray, so to revere the sacred mysteries of your body and blood, that we may always experience in ourselves the fruits of your redemption, who live and reign with God the Father in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. So, this is an ancient feast day. I believe the Mass and the office for this feast was edited or composed by St. Thomas Aquinas at the request of Pope Urban IV in 1264. So thinking about it in 2026, who'd like to start off with a reflection on today's feast and the readings thereof?
Right, I'll make a start, eh? And there's such a rich readings we have for this solemnity. I'll begin. I mean, we'll see where the conversation takes us. I think just looking at the gospel, I think, you know, first of all, Christ really affirms that, you know, the Eucharist that he gives us is his real flesh, or his flesh and his blood anyway, not just a symbol, but truly it is, you know, we say it is his body, blood, and soul and divinity. I think that's the first thing I think to say about from the gospel.
Yeah, and I would say it's also it's quite interesting, as you say, in the gospel, because the gospel of this Sunday follows the miracle of Jesus giving bread to the people. And it's quite interesting how in the gospel those things are put together. No? So first they have to believe in the miracles of Jesus, and actually they could see that Jesus was one who could do miracles and could satisfy the hunger of the people. But then it comes a second challenge. That's the real one. When Jesus says, no, it's not about following me because of the things I give to you. It's not about giving to you bread. Then he says, I am the bread of life. So it's about following him, not because what we receive. And I actually think that this feast in particular calls us to what is the sense of our faith. No? What do we follow Jesus, or our following of Jesus is because what he gives to us, or because we are always asking things for him, or is because we want to be with him, because we want to follow him. So for me, it's quite a strong calling for my faith in him as a person.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's beautiful. I mean, even given that you started off, Kathleen, with Aquinas, and he makes that distinction, isn't it? Like between the sacraments of Eucharist and the other six sacraments. Like the other six sacraments, in some ways, gives us the power of Christ, but it is the Eucharist that gives us the person of Christ, right? That it is that, and the church calls the Eucharist the source and summit. Precisely because it is in the Eucharist that we find the person of Jesus, more than his gifts, more than anything but himself. And that's beautiful. Thanks to us here.
I'll go into a bit of a different direction because reflecting on this piece kind of took me down memory lane. Because I received my first Holy Communion on the feast of Corpus Christi when I was six. And it was actually on a Thursday when it was a public holiday. This was not in New Zealand, obviously, this was in Malta. And, you know, I have many memories of Eucharistic processions and all those kind of things. But the thing that's stayed with me has stayed with me ever since the moment of my first Holy Communion was a sense of intimacy with the Lord. Like it's just never left me. So this is, I suppose this is my reflection on today's feast. It's a God who wants to be so intimate with us that he gives himself. Yeah. And I mean, somehow I understood that as a child, and of course, then you realize as you get older how much you don't understand it. So I'm always praying to understand it more, this reality. Yeah.
And Lucien, I think the way you started off by talking about the memories that come with this feast day, for me, raises the first word of Moses in the First Testament reading today, remember. And Moses is asking the Jewish people to remember the manna in the wilderness and their delivery from Egypt. And he's asking them to remember because they're now settled in the land of Canaan, and there's the temptation to follow the ways of the Canaanites, which lead into the worshipping of idols, as they did in the desert too. So those memories of the goodness of God to that nation in the desert is a defense against faithlessness, if you like. And our memories too, the memories that we have of our own First Communion, of those Corpus Christi processions, are part of that defense that while it may be tempting to stray into a kind of religion that exploits and oppresses people, that's not what we're called to. And I also think back to the words of Pope Francis, that the Eucharist is not a prize for the perfect, but a powerful medicine and nourishment for the weak.
And I think that's quite beautiful, Kathleen, because actually the broken Jesus, the flesh and body, is about a broken Jesus. It's about his passion. It's about a God that decides to suffer with us, that decides to be wounded, that decides to be broken. And for me, this feast is about that presence of Jesus in my life, as you were saying, Lucien, and also a fact that we have to follow him. We have to be present with the broken ones. We are broken, and we have to be there with the broken ones. And I remember there's this beautiful phrase of St. Augustine that he says, "Be what you receive," talking about the Eucharist. And he was talking to the newly baptized. So when we receive the body of Christ, we are called to become the body of Christ. So to be broken, to broke as Jesus breaks the bread, break ourselves, because really loving the other or really journeying with others is not easy. Sometimes it's quite demanding. It's quite yeah. It's implies suffering. Implies following Jesus in the Christ in the cross and walking with others in their own crosses. So, which a lot of hope because it's a recent presence at the same time. But I think it's a challenge also for us not to be what we receive. To be this body of Christ.
And I think that sort of comes out really beautifully in the second reading. I love the second reading that talks about how, the blessing cup that we bless is a communion with the blood of Christ, right? That communion in a sense of that we have a real participation, when we receive, like you said, when we receive the body of Christ, we become part of the body of Christ, right? So there's this, the second reading sort of brings out that, like the Eucharist, often when we think of it, we can think in terms of quite a from an individual perspective. But here, the second reading sort of brings out that the Eucharist is also really deeply connected with unity and the church and being part of the bigger body of Christ, which I love.
Yes, that word participation comes up twice in the reading, the second reading from Paul. And I think with his metaphor of the body, he is saying that we don't just participate as individuals. This is not about receiving Eucharist, it's not about my personal sanctification. It's an invitation to be community, a community that is the body of Christ.
Absolutely. And also the fact, and is that the Eucharist really creates communion. It's quite important because sometimes, as you say, it's not just my personal relationship with God, because all the life of Jesus, all his preaching was always around meals, was always around communion, because the meals were the symbolism of communion with others. And in particular, who invited Jesus? No, Jesus invited the poor, the marginalized, the sick, the ones who were not well seen by society. And actually, he are those people who he invites to be in communion with him. So the Eucharist and the Last Supper was the apex of the culmination of those meals in which he says all the sense of this Eucharist is to create communion with me, with God, but also between us. And really, I would say it's a really strong call for our world now. We are so divided. We are now in a very difficult time, a very polarized society, lots of antagonisms. We live in a pluralistic culture. So I would say, really, the Eucharist is a call also to live in unity, not to respect the differences, to love each other, because that's what God wants of us, to be a sign of that body of Christ, not to be a sign that of that communion between God and humanity. So I think it's also a very lovely call for communion.
And that ties in very well, Ruthio, with the bishop's call for synodality, because unity starts with listening to another person's point of view, another country's point of view. And I think that so much of life today involves making clear what we think, but not necessarily listening and walking in the shoes of other people. So that, that unity almost becomes impossible. And that is what we're being called to pursue.
And I do wonder too, it is thinking, about the Eucharist. I wonder if also unity also demands sort of personal sacrifice, right? When we think about when St. Paul, talks about the one loaf or the one cup, the many grains being broken down in order to become the one bread. And I wonder whether that unity that's been called for also demands or requires sacrifice from us, right? And I think also I'm just pondering, this we talk about the Eucharist as the true presence, and it is true, but in some ways it is not just a presence, but a presence of sort of in its very act of self-giving, right? When we talk about the Eucharist, we talk about this is his body given for you. So it's not like a static presence, but a presence, a dynamic presence that where Christ gives off himself in his very moment of giving his full self, right? And that's that self-sacrifice. And I wonder whether that ties in that unity, listening, but also it sort of calls for us to sort of give off ourselves to the other.
And seeing the other as the body of Christ.
That's right.
And I also think seeing, as you said, it's not a static presence because it's the ones who takes my, he says, takes my flesh in the gospel will live. No? So actually, is giving us life. No? I would say sometimes we have to be careful also because we can think about just all the things that we have to give up or sacrifice, etc. But we forget also the positive dimension that the sense of being Christian is flourishing, is having real life, things that really makes us profoundly alive and profoundly living the dignity of being human. And in that sense, I think that the Eucharist has this power of transformation because in the miracle, the guys have really just little, no, very few fish and some breads, and Jesus transformed that into richness and abundance of life. And I think that's the same pattern in the Eucharist, no? When we go to God and we go to the Eucharist, we carry our wounds, we carry our hopes, we carry our sufferings, we carry our brokenness. And Jesus is capable of transforming everything into life. No? So that fragility of being human is transformed by God's power as was in the time of Jesus. And so I think, yeah, it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful feast to celebrate.
And that transformation reminds us too that we are people of mission. The mission is to change the world, to transform the world in the likeness of Christ. So feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, housing the homeless, all of those needs that are there very clearly in the world, we are called to do something about through Eucharist.
And that brings me to my favorite quote from St. John Chrysostom when he says, do you want to honor Christ's body? Then do not scorn him in his nakedness. Like, don't honor him in the church with silk garments while you neglect him outside when he's cold and naked. It's such a powerful quote.
And sometimes we forget that connectedness, as you say, of our social responsibility and our relationship with Christ, which is absolutely linked. In the primitive church, it was beautiful, no? Because when they get together to have the Last Supper or celebrate the Last Supper and in the houses of the people, then immediately the Eucharist was the meal was taken to the poor, to the ones who were ill. So it was a connection that Eucharist means that Eucharist means not just a personal thing, but it's actually about creating a community, you know? So I think if we have the two things together, we give more fidelity of Jesus' intention, founding or beginning that.
Thank you.
It talks about, that remember how the Lord your God led you for 40 years in the wilderness to humble you. And then, it says again, a couple of times, and do not become proud of heart. There's that sense of that emphasis on humility. And I wonder whether there's this, connection between how we ought to approach the Eucharist and a sense of, that we are beggars before God, or we are, there's this recognition of our need for the Eucharist in our lives, to cultivate that. They're just struck by that in the first reading, that it seems to, that the Moses seems to highlight that humility or poverty of spirit quite a few times.
It ties in with what Rocio, you were saying before, that we find life in the Eucharist, and that humility is the realization that without the Eucharist, I am nothing.
Exactly, and I say also connects beautifully, Alex, with the fact that recognizing that we are hungry. Sometimes many people feel that they don't need God, because and this is actually because they are not aware of the profound hunger of God that we have. And I think humility is that, is recognizing the hunger, the profound hunger, the dependence, that as Lucien was saying, we are nothing without God. Really, we are like a little leaf moving by the winds, and our life is always like living in mesh, no? And easily we can just fall. And I think that this God's grace sustains us time.
And it's easy to take it for granted too. I mean,
Yeah,
I,
it is.
for most of my life, I've been able to go to mass most days, but just in the last 3 years or so, I haven't been able to. And it's really helped me to grow my appreciation of the Eucharist and realizing how much I was taking it for granted.
Yes, we forget about those times in history when it was impossible, because of persecution and government policies to not be able to attend Eucharist or not to participate fully. For a long time, people, I remember from my mother and father's time, there was an idea that we were unworthy to receive Eucharist, and people didn't go to communion every time they went to Mass. But the realization that Emmanuel, incarnate God, is with us, offering himself at every Mass we attend, is something that is stressed in this feast day.
And of
So
course.
this is not necessarily just about, as John always says, it's not just about guidance for homilists. It may be a way of helping people who are listening to focus on key ideas this coming weekend. So for you, what is the idea that you would like people to take home from these readings?
For me, is that we cannot approach the altar remaining indifferent to the suffering of others, the ones around us.
Thank you, Othiel. I would endorse that, and I would perhaps say that the Eucharist is not a spectator sport, and it's not just about my personal relationship with Christ, but participation means modeling the relationship that God offers to us, to the whole world.
I think for me it is again the God who wants to be so intimate with us that we have to share that intimacy with others.
For me, I think it's just intimacy as well for me. I think that God wants to be so close to us, and not just knowing that we are human beings with a body and soul, that he wants to be physically present present to us as well. Like, it's not just a spiritual prison, but knowing that we need also physical prison, that he comes to be, to be physically present to us as well. I think that's where, that's something to just ponder and delight in that.
Perhaps if I can add one last thing, because we have the relic of Carlo Acutis, Saint Carlo Acutis, arriving in Wellington on Sunday for the feast of Corpus Christi. And of course, that is his what he's known for, his love for the Eucharist. And he one of his quotes says, "The more Eucharist we receive, the more we become like Jesus, so that on this earth we will have a foretaste of heaven." So perhaps just end with that.
Thank you, Lucien.
Thank you, Lucien,
Indeed.
and thanks to each of you for your thoughts and your sharing of those thoughts in this session. So we close with prayer again. The bread you give, O God, is Christ's flesh for the life of the world. The cup of his blood is your covenant for our salvation. Grant that we who worship Christ in this holy mystery may reverence him in the needy of the world by lives poured out for the sake of that kingdom where he lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, now and always. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you.